is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. And this is number 26 in our Scripture 101 Essentials series. And we're asking the question in this portion of our series, who is Jesus Christ? And today we're going to take a look at Colossians 1:19. Well, if I can give a little personal note here, I was supposed to be at the radio station today where I work as a DJ. I work there once a week. But on the way to work, I was driving, and all of a sudden, there was a loud boom. My engine exploded. You got that right. My car engine exploded while I was driving 50 miles an hour. And there was smoke everywhere. And what was weird is that was white smoke. And for a minute, I thought I might have been elected Pope. Well, only ex-Catholics would probably get that joke. The white smoke, elected Pope. But I wasn't elected Pope. But I'm fine. I smell a little bit like gas and oil and antifreeze right now. But that's all right. And so I decided, since Satan just blew up my car and I couldn't get to work, I'm going to have to blow up his empire with some truth. How's that sound? So I wrote this this audio in these circumstances, and this is my response to the perils that we have to go through in this evil eon. You know, when Satan attacks, you just keep attacking back with truth. Well, last time we read Colossians 2, verse 9, where we read that in him the entire complement of the deity is dwelling bodily. There is Christ and there is God. Christ is the complement of that God, the one true God. Christ is the complement. Christ's function is to reveal the deity. All the plans of the deity are fulfilled in Christ. There is only one God, as to fact, many gods figuratively, and Christ is the chief of these. Now, you got to listen to the previous programs to understand that. We've been building logically throughout these series, step by step. Now, in Colossians 2:9, Paul applies the term the deity to God himself to express the relationship between God and his Christ. Paul applies the deity to God, but he denies it to Christ. And now today we're going to look in Colossians again, but this time in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 15 through 20. We read this regarding the Son of God's love, where it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. For in him is all created, that in the heavens and that on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or sovereignties or authorities, all is created through him and for him. And he is before all, and all has its cohesion in him. And he is the head of the body, the ecclesia, who is sovereign, firstborn from among the dead, that in all he may be becoming first. For in him the entire complement delights to dwell, and through him to reconcile all to him, making peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on the earth or those in the heavens." Now, the term complement is applied to Christ because he completes things. He finishes his job, basically. He brings God's goal for the universe to a completion. Now, Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20 is unknown to Christianity. I never heard it when I was a Christian. Their version of truth is that sin, death, evil, and torture will forever exist in God's universe. You can't deny that. No Christian can say I'm lying. No Christian can deny what I just said. Christianity teaches that sin, death, evil, and torture will forever exist in God's universe. Christianity says sin remains forever with people in a torture chamber. That's the Orthodox hell. But by the way, this teaching is a disgrace and a slander against God. Now, some of you are saying, Dan, why are you so mean? Why don't you be nicer? Well, if this was just me against a Christian, it would be one thing, but this has nothing to do with me. This is the truth of God versus the idolatry in this world that is purported to, that has said it represents God. Christianity pretends to represent God, and it doesn't represent him. Would you take it? You men out there, if somebody misrepresented your wife, would you be kind to somebody who called your wife a whore or something like that? Now, here we have a group, an organized religion called Christianity, which brings slanders against our God, and we're going to sit back and not say anything about it? Think about that for a minute. Now, if you believe in eternal torment and pain, if you really believe it, you're going to go insane. Anyone who can laugh and sing that Jesus loves me while grandma and even little children are burning in hell, if you can sing while that's going on, you're nuts. If you can sing Jesus loves me while grandma and little children are burning in hell, you're a heartless nutcase. You have something wrong mentally. Now, a number of years back, a bus full of kids was hit by a train in a town not too far from where I live. A bunch of young kids in a train. I got hit by a train in their school bus. Every person in that area went into action to save the kids. But Christianity says that probably most of those people who went to save those kids are evil and they're going to burn in hell forever. Christianity says that most of those people are unbelievers and maybe a lot of those kids too. And what Christianity teaches is that when Christians are in heaven, they will laugh at that kind of torture. In other words, when Christians get to heaven, they wouldn't rescue people in a burning bus. They're actually going to watch it and laugh and think that they deserve to be in that pit of fire. That's what Christianity teaches. The doctrines of hell and annihilation, even, are evil. Annihilation teaches that the dead are just dead forever. They don't believe in the awful doctrine of hell, but they teach an annihilation that when somebody dies, that's it, they're over and done with. But that's no substitute. Neither hell nor annihilation are from God. These doctrines are anti-God and anti-Christ. People who embrace them aren't just confused. They are deceived. Let me repeat. Anyone who embraces annihilation or the doctrine of hell, they're not just confused, they are deceived. And let me be the first to admit, I was deceived because I embraced them both. I went from believing in hell to believing in annihilation. Annihilation is no better. But here, listen to this. Guys like Bullinger taught annihilation. So we don't reverence people here if they deny the truth, even Bullinger, who had a lot of great things to say. But he still taught annihilation. Annihilation means that unbelievers will simply die and stay dead forever. And guess what that means? That means that death will remain forever. But the end of God's movie is a happy ending. Things will reach a happy conclusion in God's universe. Sin and suffering will receive a perfect explanation by God. Death will be abolished and replaced with life. A completed universe will be the result of the work of God's anointed. Paul says that in him, Christ, the Son of God's love, the entire complement delights to dwell, and through him to reconcile all to him, making peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on the earth or those in the heavens. All will be reconciled because in Christ the entire complement delights to dwell. We have a beautiful figure of speech here called personification. The word complement is personified. It's as if God's plans are likened to a person. Complement delights in the fact that Christ will be the one that's going to do its job. Christ is the one that is going to bring the universe to completion. But think about this. If Christ doesn't reconcile all, his job will be incomplete. And that means the complement didn't dwell in Christ. If orthodox hell or annihilation are true, Christ hasn't completed anything. He's a failure. He has failed to fulfill his role as the firstborn. Jesus Christ is God's Christ. He has been anointed by God to reconcile everyone. And if everyone isn't reconciled, Christ is a failure. Christianity denies Colossians 1:19. And that's why Christianity isn't a viable option for anyone. It denies God and his Christ. Now, why would anyone be part of a system that nullifies the work of Christ? The fact is that most will sell out God for a potluck dinner and a Sunday school class, unfortunately. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. We'll continue this topic next time. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God through the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.